All right. Well, 9:45. So let's get started. Let Benny, we got people that need to get it going and then go to the 11 o'clock. So anything by way of immediate announcements that we need to do, y'all be sure to get your prayer request again. Remember to get them to the Moonies by 5 this afternoon, 5 o'clock.
Yeah. 5 o'clock Central Time.
Okay. All right. Very precise. So y'all will do that, and we can chat a little bit afterwards. I will probably be gone. I got to go chase them. They just left on a walk. I'm going to go chase the 2-year-old. But anyway, anything else? And then if not, we'll pray and get started. Okay, let's pray. Father, we are thankful to you. We just thank you that you've brought us together and what fellowship means. And we pray that we would experience that this morning, that we would be open to both your word being taught and just the fact that we're all together in this, listening to the talk about your design and what you would have us to do. And we know one thing you would have us to do just in varied ways because of the way you've designed us is to serve each other. We're right here in this group. And I pray that you would keep that on our hearts. Thank you that you do that, Lord. It's just unique. It's just the way you've created us to be in community and to serve those around us and to be served, to welcome the service when people call and reach out. So thank you for that. Let that glorify you. I know it does. And we praise you for that. And we praise you for your magnificent ways of dealing with us in love, giving us comfort and security, Lord, in very uncomfortable, insecure times. And we pray that even our time together would help us in that, drawing us to you and to an understanding of what you're doing. Lord, may it be about you. Father, thank you again for Benny and Belinda, their family. As they serve, Lord, they serve us, they serve Briarwood, our community. And that's not easy when you're in full-time work. And so we just pray for their encouragement in every possible way and just a supernatural connection to you, Lord, and strengthening as they serve us and serve each other. So thank you. Teach us today through Benny and help us to know you better, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, Benny.
Amen. All right. Well, Belinda and I were so looking forward last week to being with you. And then after the class, we both looked at each other when we got back together and just said, wow. We love the discovery class. What great fellowship during it, before it, and then after. It was just unbelievable fellowship. Just thank the Lord for each one of you. And it's a joy to be with you. As I said last week, want to tell you that again, as we go through and we study our series this time of Designed by God. Each week, I'm going to just have a PowerPoint that will walk us through our lesson and help keep it flowing, and hopefully help us be able to follow along a little better, since Zoom is a little bit challenging sometimes. So I'm going to go ahead and get that going. So our series again is Designed by God, and today we're going to start 3 weeks on our spiritual gifts. We'll be looking at spiritual gifts for 3 different weeks. And as we jump into that particular study of God's, in his great design, that he would give each Christian a spiritual gift or gifts, we're going to study through that. But before we do, let's make sure that we put this in context of those foundational points that we mentioned last week that are very important for us to remember. And one is that we are designed by God. Before time began, we read and studied through Psalm 139, and that before time began, God designed us. And in that design, for all Christians, he recreates us in Christ Jesus. When we are saved, he recreates us. He gives us a new heart. He gives us the Holy Spirit in us, a new family, a new father. You know, he gives us that reconciliation with him. So he recreates us, and he empowers us by the Spirit, and he begins to transform us into the image of Christ at that point, and he continues to do that until we're glorified with him. And so it's good to have this context as we go through this. Also, a second thing that's really good as we study through our spiritual gifts, that we remember that we're taking our design and we're saying it's God's shape, how God shaped us. And so we're going to take the rest of the time, pretty much except for the last couple of weeks, and we're going to take this acrostic of shape to see how God designed us. And those things in shape, as I mentioned last week, is first spiritual gifts that we're going to begin today and go over the next 2 weeks. And then our heart, our passions that God gives us to glorify him and to use those spiritual gifts and to use those abilities and talents, which is the A. We're going to study through our abilities and talents. And we'll take a couple of weeks, study our personality, our basic temperament, and also our sovereign experiences. But as we look at this, and as we take 3 weeks on our spiritual gifts, let's remember that all of these work together in God's design of us. You know, we're not just our spiritual gifts or our personality or even our talents and abilities or even our passions and our heart or our experience. None of those in and of itself, it's really, they overlay. They all come together to make who God has designed us to be and even who he is designing us to be as he transforms us by the Holy Spirit. So just thought that would be something really important for us to look at as we begin our study of our spiritual gifts. So when we study our spiritual gifts, we're going to look through 4 different passages. And today we're going to actually read through 2 of these, and we're going to hit some major principles in just a few minutes about spiritual gifts from these passages. So you notice Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter 4. So if you go 12s and 4s, you're pretty good. And we're going to begin our study today with Romans 12, beginning with verse 3. And I'll just read that for us as we study through this particular on our spiritual gifts, our design by God, and how he has given each Christian a spiritual gift. And so let's begin with verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. I'll stop there. You notice there's different members, different function for each one of us. Verse 5, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Wow. Supernatural connection. Verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. And then he mentions 7 of the gifts right here. If prophecy, in proportion to your faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. It's important for us to understand that God, at our salvation, we know that he saved us and he secured us in Christ. And also, when we're saved, we're connected into the body of Christ with all the other Christians. We saw that from that passage and these other passages. And also, we notice that he gave you And he gave me, he gave each Christian an important function to fulfill in the body of Christ. So you have an important function in the body of Christ. Each one of you, each, and I do, every Christian has that important function. And he gave you a spiritual gift with the empowerment of the Spirit to accomplish that assigned role alongside of all the other Christians in order that together we would build his eternal kingdom. And so God has done this great work. And so that's why I would take 3 weeks to make sure that we study through and that we understand, we discover, and understand even how to develop and then deploy our spiritual gifts. And that's the 3 week outline per se. And that's so important for us to understand. And you see the gifts at work here in this Sunday school class. I do. I see different spiritual gifts at work. When you're together and when you're not together, when the class functions with all those spiritual gifts, and we can see it in our worship service when we come together. We can see it in different outreach opportunities, like Sam's part in the Walk Through Nativity and several of the rest of you, your part in the Walk Through Nativity or whatever outreach that we use. You can see spiritual gifts at work. You can just see different snapshots or even a video, if you watched a church at work, of the spiritual gifts. One particular time stood out to me that this struck me, and it's been quite a few years ago, probably about 20 years ago, so it wasn't at this church, when I saw a snapshot of the spiritual gifts at work, and it just struck me of seeing all of those happen at one time. It was actually at a church social, a church-wide social. And there was a team of us that were getting it all prepared before the whole church shows up. And I was a part of that group doing whatever service and opportunities that I was assigned. I was just there to serve and to be a part of that. But we had a leader, and it was without a doubt that she had the gift of hospitality. She was the hostess, and she was leading us in this great event. You could just see joy on her face when I showed up. She was there early. She could not wait to host this this church-wide event. Well, it's about 20 to 25 minutes before the event, and she's walking in with the punch bowl, and all of a sudden she stumbles, and she starts stumbling forward, and the bowl's going every which way, and punch goes all over her and all over the floor, and you could see everybody's eyes get about this wide, and she's, you know, she's going forward, but she doesn't fall. Praise the Lord. And the punch bowl doesn't break. She hangs on, but she has punch all over her and everywhere. What happens next is what struck me, is that the people with the gift of helps just jumped up and started cleaning up and, you know, wiping her off. And then there were a couple of people with the gift of service, they didn't ask anything. They jumped right up. They grabbed the bowl. They went to the kitchen, started mixing up more punch and putting it in. And then those with the gift of mercy and encouragement just immediately came up and started cleaning her up and consoling her, telling her it's going to be okay. She looks great. It's going to be all right. And just being there to encourage her. And then you saw another gal with the gift of administration who didn't ask anybody. She just stood right up and helped make sure everything was going while the other lady was out. She was making sure all the parts, the tables were finished getting set up and the rest of the food was getting put on the table. She just used that administrative gift. And I was doing my part in helping do all that. But then I stopped after this, or really not even after it. I stopped and started thinking, wow. Nobody told any of those people what to do. They just jumped in with their spiritual gift, using it for the body of Christ. What was amazing is this, the lady that was in charge, our hostess, she wasn't sad at all. She wasn't embarrassed. She smiled. She was there. She stayed. And she had the best time. And another thing that stood out to me, when all the people start arriving, they had no idea what had happened. And it was just one of those wonderful fellowship times of the church, with just such an atmosphere of peace and joy and just great fellowship. And that, I think each person was using their gifts and each person was functioning there, and it encouraged and built up the body of Christ that needed that biblical fellowship. Just a snapshot, but that shows you, those spiritual gifts are constantly at work. We could take, like I said, an outreach event or other things and walk through those as well. But what's neat is God uses each person in their spiritual gift to accomplish what he's called us to do. Now, as we study through spiritual gifts, it's really important that we would really understand what is a spiritual gift. And so this is an involved and full definition of a spiritual gift. And I think I put it on your outline and typed it out for you on that outline that I emailed to you. But let's read through this. A spiritual gift is a special attribute graciously given by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit to equip a Christian to fulfill their specifically designed function in the body of Christ to further the kingdom of God for the glory of God. Did you get that? Let me read it again. A spiritual gift is a special attribute graciously given by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit to equip a Christian to fulfill their specifically designed function in the body of Christ to further the kingdom of God for the glory of God. We're going to talk through the principles behind this definition in just a second. But before we do, it's important to know what spiritual gifts are not, okay? They're not the same as our different talents and abilities. Most of those are given to us at birth, and some are developed skills through our life. But a spiritual gift isn't the same thing as those different talents and abilities. Maybe you have that ability of singing and of music and talent that way that you use for the Lord. We're to use those for the Lord. But our spiritual gift isn't the same thing as those. It's also not the same thing as our personality. Our personality, our temperament is something we're born with. And yes, we mature and grow and it develops, but we still have that basic same temperament. You may go, I'm type A, or, well, I'm surely not type A. You know, we'll use that terminology or other terminology in our day and time. Now, it's important to know that our spiritual gift may complement our talents and abilities, and it may complement our natural temperament, our natural personality. It also could balance out our personality. For me, when I became a Christian, the spiritual gifts that God gave me did a little bit of both. I recognized this, I started recognizing this a few months after I became a Christian, and then fully recognized it a little more later down the road when I started studying spiritual gifts, a lot more intently. Naturally, in my personality, I'm both people oriented and I'm task oriented. But that's kind of how I'm made. I love people and I love to be a part of doing things. But one thing my natural temperament when I was growing up that I was not very organized at all. And this came up one particular day. I remember this a few months after I became a Christian. Again, I became a Christian at 16. And so, this is a few months after I became a Christian. My mom came into my bedroom, which she avoided a lot as a 16-year-old. But she came in, she knocks and she comes in and she stopped and she just kind of looked around in my room and paused. And then she said, Benny, supper will be ready in just a minute. And I said, thanks, Mom. Be there in a minute. And then she left out of the room. And I thought, well, that's a little odd, you know, that she paused like that. And I started thinking about it. Went to dinner, ate dinner, and then came back in my room. And as I came back in my room, I was still a little puzzled at her entrance and what she did. And then I noticed, well, instead of the normal, which had been normal all my life, my room was always a disaster. I mean, all my clothes, my shoes, my bed was never made, pillows were everywhere, whatever. I mean, it looked like a bomb went off. My mom avoided it. She would get my dad to tell me to clean a path in there so she could get in there and do some things. But most of the time, they just put stuff outside my door for me to put in there. She just hated my room. But this time, she did walk in. And when I walked in, my bed was made. And then I noticed that in my closet, what I had done, since I had become a Christian over those few months, I'd taken my slacks, my pants, and I had organized my closet. My pants were hanging first. Everything was hung up, too. Nothing on the floor. Pants were hung up, short sleeve shirts, long sleeve shirts, Sunday coats, and then my other coats, shoes organized, in order and together, all in my closet. Then I started thinking, I organized my chest of drawers. I mean, my sock drawer and each thing was organized. And it just hit me. I went, that is a little interesting. And now God is a God of order, and he does that in our life. But a little later on in my life, I started recognizing that I really enjoy organizing things. Now, I'm not an administrative talent like a person who's a great accountant. I could never do that because I don't have that talent and ability. But the spiritual gift of organizing things and being a part of things like the Walk the Nativity, I just love it. And before that, oh my goodness, I would have never done that. And so it became obvious that God had given me a spiritual gift at salvation of something in administrative, organizational side. Now, another spiritual gift he gave me came alongside my personality, and that was what I would call shepherding leadership. It's kind of a blend of those two things that God had gave me. He knew I was going to be called into ministry later in my life, and so he gave me gifts, one to help me out because I was going to blow everything up without any type of organization gift. But he also complimented that and gave me the other spiritual gift of that shepherding leadership. So it's not the same as our personality or talents and abilities, but it can complement, and it can even come alongside, or it can help balance out that natural personality. It's also not the same as the fruit of the Spirit. Every Christian has the fruit, should have, evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in their life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We all are to be growing in that and have that in our life. And so the spiritual gifts aren't the same as that. Now, for some principles on spiritual gifts that I want us to look at, before we look at those, I want us to read our second passage for today. It's a little long, so hang in there. But this is the Word of God, and it's living and active. I can't just talk through the principles without reading these verses. And I'll begin with 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 1 through 27. So you can read this along with me or just listen to it if you prefer. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Let me stop there. So Paul's writing to the church of Corinth, and they asked him about spiritual gifts. They were off on the spiritual gifts. They had highlighted some higher than others, and so they were off on them. But what God's telling us in verse 1 is this word uninformed would be that Greek word could be translated ignorant. I don't want you, my children, Christians, God says, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant or uninformed. I don't want you not to understand the truth about spiritual gifts. So I'm giving you these passages in the scripture. Verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, But it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he, the Spirit of God, as he wills. Verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Verse 14, for the body does not, that's the body of Christ, or our body, which is an analogy of the body of Christ. So the body, our physical body, does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? And as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body. God so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, and there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Well, long passage, but powerful passage with so many things. Let's look at biblical principles from this 1 Corinthians 12 passage and our Romans 12 passage. The first principle is pretty obvious for today's lesson. In both of these passages, we're taught that every Christian is given by God's grace at least one spiritual gift at salvation. Now, it's important to understand this when you read through this spiritual gift. That word gift, the Greek word is charisma. Well, you may know the Greek word of the root of that, charis, is grace. So when we read through this and you look at it, God gives a grace gift to you, maybe more than one, but at least one. He's given you and me and all Christian a grace gift. And so that grace gift that he's given us, that spiritual gift, it's not by our works. It's not by our merit. It's not because we're special. It was God's design that he did it. And we saw that. And we also saw that God, each one of these gifts are given and that they differ. He gives different gifts to each person. The next principle is God sovereignly placed each Christian into the body of Christ with a specifically designed function and equipped them with a God-given gift in order to further this body function, this spiritual body, the Christian body, the body of Christ function. You probably saw that as I highlighted that in this passage. God did it just as he willed. He arranged you to have a specific gift and a specific part in the body and in furthering his kingdom. It's just great to know that God in his sovereignty did that. What does that do to us? Well, one, I think it really gives us confidence to know that it's God who gave us our spiritual gift or gifts. And to know that also keeps us from comparing ourselves to other people. It keeps us from jealousy. It keeps us from pride because we didn't do anything to get it. It was a grace gift of God that he sovereignly gave us our spiritual gift or gifts. And so that gives us great confidence and assurance, like that hostess I mentioned, to be able to use that gift for God's glory. Thirdly, Christ has placed us in his body with all the members and united us together with them by his Holy Spirit. One of the things I said last week is one of the things we seek in life is, where do I belong? Where is my community? Where do I belong in this world or in life? Well, God tells us we belong with him in his family, in his body, to fulfill his purpose, to glorify his great name. Wow, we have the most amazing belonging that's not only for today, but it's eternal. We will be with this family, the Christian family, the body of Christ, forever and ever, glorifying God. And so he's already united you and I as Christians with his body now. And he also empowers us. God empowers each Christian with their gift in order to fulfill the service or that activity he's called us to accomplish in his body and in his great plan. And so the neat thing here is we read through that in both passages, really, that it's God himself. He gives us the power and strength. He empowers us to do what he's called us to do. He always does. Praise the Lord. And that, again, gives us great confidence to know that it's God who empowers us. And then every spiritual gift is vital. Every spiritual gift is important in the body of Christ. Again, there's no little gifts. There's no lesser gifts. They're all of the same value and importance in God's economy and God's great plan. I hear people sometimes say, you know, well, I just kind of am a behind the scenes person. You know, maybe I have the gift of helps or service, you know, mercy. And they act as if that's less than any other gift. My goodness, no. Our God has given you that great gift, and we need you to be using it. Yes, the gift of mercy. Think about it. The God of mercy has given you the gift of mercy to move us to have more of his heart and passion for people, to show the mercy of Christ in the gift of service. Our Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ served us greatly, and you get to point us how to serve one another. Each one of those gifts are vital and important in God's economy, every gift. Well, the purpose, the next principle, the purpose of every spiritual gift is to serve others, to further the purpose of God and to glorify his name. And that was brought up so many times there in 1 Corinthians. It's important to know that God doesn't give us a spiritual gift to make us feel important. He doesn't give us a spiritual gift to make us feel useful. He gives us Jesus to do that. He pours his spirit in us. We're saved, and in Christ we are important, and Jesus fulfills that, not our spiritual gift. So let's don't get it mixed up. Our spiritual gift is to be used to serve one another and build up the body of Christ and to glorify his name and to be doing the work of the church in our city and in our world. God gives us that spiritual gift to come alongside with others with different gifts to accomplish the work of Christ. That's why he gave us that. His purpose is for others and for his glory, not for for us or to make us look good. We're to make God look good, not ourselves. Every Christian is called to actively use their spiritual gift and to keep it fanned in the flame. We saw that in both passages. It says, hey, God's given you a gift. Use it. We need to be, and also we need to keep it fresh and fanning it into flame, as that First Peter passage Paul told Timothy to do. Our next principle, a Christian who is actively using their spiritual gift in the body of Christ will have great joy and experience the abundant life that they were created in Christ Jesus to live. So this is, Jesus said in that John 10:10, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And surely a part of that is the spirit in us that gives us peace with God and the peace of God, but also of walking with the Lord and using our gifts and talents that he's given us, our design, using those spiritual gifts as God has given us, we find great joy in serving him and serving others. That's a holy joy, the joy of Christ that passes all understanding, that peace and joy and fulfillment, that abundant life. So we need to know our gift and we need to be using it for his glory, empowered by his spirit. Well, our next principle is Jesus Christ is the head of the body, his church, and we must be surrendered to him and committed to follow him. He empowers us by his Holy Spirit, so we need to be filled with the Spirit every day, and that's that submitted and surrendered life to Christ. And we need to remember he's the head of the body, so we use that gift that he has given us to fulfill the work that he's given us. Well, these are the principles that are the framework and the foundation, and for us to know about our spiritual gifts. We're going to take next week and the week following to talk through the steps we take with our spiritual gifts once we discover them, which is really this week. We need to discover our spiritual gifts, and next week we'll talk more even about that. And then we need to develop, and we'll talk through that as well, develop our spiritual gifts, and then we need to deploy our spiritual gifts in Christ, and that will be our study today and then the next 2 weeks as well. In order to really discover your spiritual gifts, we need to pray to the Lord to show it to us. Another great tool is that spiritual gifts inventory that I gave you, I sent to you, that you can fill out on your computer or on your iPad or iPhone or whatever handheld device you like. You can fill it out right there. It'll take a little while, but wow, it's so worth it. It's part of that growth work I gave you this week to really discover your spiritual gift. I'd encourage you to do that. And then we look forward to discussing that at the end of next week. We can discuss our spiritual gifts over the next couple weeks. And today, in just a second after I pray, I'll hang around and we can talk through anything related to this as well, or whatever you guys would like to talk about. So God's given each one of us a spiritual gift, and he wants us to discover it and to know what it is and to be actively using that gift for him and his glory, to make his great name spread throughout this world, to accomplish that great commission that he's given us, that all would hear the gospel throughout the world and all his people of all the nations would come together and glorify his name. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for each person who is here on this Zoom and those who are listening later this week. Father, I ask that you would give us each a desire to really know what gift you've given us and then to be actively using that. I know I see many people in this class already using their spiritual gift, and they already know what it is. And I pray that this lesson and the ones following would just help fan that into flame and give more encouragement and strength to them as they use their spiritual gift for your glory. And Father, others of us are looking for opportunities, and I pray you'll show them that as we study through spiritual gifts how to use their gift in the body of Christ and for you and in our church. Father, I also want to pray for protection for each person during this time of this pandemic. I pray that you would protect them and our brothers and sisters in Christ and in our church and in our city. Father, watch over them, but do give us greater hunger and thirst for you, God, today and each day of our life, and help us to walk with you every moment of each day. Thank you, Jesus, for pouring out your love on us and making us your children. In Christ's name, amen.